Psalm 103. These wonderful and encouraging words were penned by King David. Praise the Lord, O my soul, O my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, but abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. Then the wind blows over it and it's gone. And his place remembers it no more, but from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who remember his precepts and keep his covenant. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom reigns over all. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants, who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Listen, I am going to pretty much stick to my notes because we're trying to do a lot here, so there won't be a lot of extemporaneous going off the trail into the weeds this morning. But I am thankful for the privilege of being here with you all and being able to celebrate our great and glorious God. Let's give him another round of applause. Amen. Yes, sir. And by the way, this altar up here, as I mentioned it earlier, anytime you want to come into the church and either stand or kneel at the altar and pray for us, you are welcome to do so. This is not the pastor's altar. This is the Valley Brook altar. And after church, sometime if you want to stay behind after everybody's left, come up and lay your hands here before the Lord and identify with one another and with our goals of faith. Feel free to do that. Three words about the Lord to frame our praise this morning or put our praise into some kind of a context. Three words: bigger, better, and beyond. Bigger, better, and beyond. The Lord is bigger than all things. The Lord is better than all things. And the Lord is beyond all things. Let's take a moment and let's pray, and we'll talk about that. Lord, we thank you for this glorious opportunity to celebrate you. You are worthy of our praise. And Lord, we can say, ooh, we, another blessing. When our eyes open every day, we can say, ooh, we, another blessing. And for those of us, Lord, who have said yes to you by faith in Jesus Christ, even when these eyes no longer open, when we leave this life, ooh, we, the blessings really start then, because then we will forever be with the Lord. So we thank you for this celebration this morning. We ask that you continue to bless your praise. And Lord, continue to make it reverberate in our spirits. Help us to have a bigger view of you, a better view of you, and a beyond view of you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's talk about bigger. Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" And he didn't wait for an answer, because there was no answer necessary. The answer is, of course not. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? The Lord is bigger than any event, any circumstance in our lives. Whatever it is, we can always say, Lord, you are bigger than this. Whether it's something that we never wanted, or whether it's something that we've always wanted, and everything in between, we can say, Lord, you are bigger than this. You know, for all its beauty, for all of its charm, for all of its pleasures, for all of its fascination, for all of its joys, the world is all of that. But it's also a suffering place. This world is a place of tribulation. This is a place of distress. This is a place of fear. This is a place of hurt. You know, my great niece's dad is a coach for the LSU basketball team. And Friday, one of their players, 20-year-old, was killed. Random act of violence. He went to a subway with his cousin down at Southern University. He should not have been there. The coaches told him not to go because a basketball camp had started, but he went anyway with his cousin, ran into these guys at the subway, and they got into this dispute, and then they started scuffling. And the 20-year-old guy was shot in the face and killed. Wade Sims. By all accounts, he was a great kid. In the wrong place, the wrong time, with the wrong people, life snuffed out at 20 years old. That's sad enough in and of itself. It's made even sadder when we realize these stories happen every day. It's even sadder when we realize that his parents, who are grieving beyond words, what do you say? What do you say to them? There is nothing that can be said to them to console them. There's no person on earth who is big enough to be able to go into that circumstance and say to the parents, it's going to be okay, and make it go away. That's not how it works. But there is someone who is great enough to be there with them through the entire process. See, we have limitations as human beings. Our best intentions, we could not sit with that family indefinitely. We couldn't do it emotionally. We couldn't do it spiritually. And even if we had that kind of fortitude, we couldn't do it physically. But there is one who is greater than their grief. There is one who is bigger than their grief. And you know, the Lord is so gracious. And I said I wasn't going to go off into the woods, but I'm going to go for a minute. The Lord is so gracious because he extends mercy day after day after day. If you have had grief in your life and you have found healing, if you've been able to go on beyond that grief, that is mercy. That is the Lord. Whether you believe in God or not, you have received mercy. You didn't heal yourself. God showered you with healing mercy to help you to move beyond that pain. He is bigger than anything, and he's bigger than everything. On the other hand, the Lord is big enough to help us handle the most daunting opportunities and responsibilities. The things that we wanted so badly, the things we were praying about, whether it's that job promotion or help me be a parent or whatever it is, there are things we pray for and we want. And then when they show up, we're terrified because now it's time to put up or shut up. Now here it is. Here's your great opportunity. You're on stage. The spotlight is on you and boom, you're on. The Lord is big enough. Lord, we find ourselves in that situation. Say, Lord, you are bigger than this. This moment, this situation, this opportunity feels bigger than me. But it's not bigger than you. You see, you're bigger than this. Even in this. Solomon found himself in that place when his father David, when he succeeded his father David as king. And his realization of the moment was a weight on his shoulders that he couldn't bear. And he said to the Lord, Lord, I am just a child. I don't know my right from my left. I don't know how to handle this. This moment is too big for me. And of course, we know the rest of the story. He became one of Israel's wisest. Let me correct that. He became Israel's most wise king. His wisest king. Bless my daughter. She's been praying for this job quite some time. And she got this opportunity. And all of a sudden, she's thrust into responsibilities that are commensurate with her training. With her education. And she called us up. Oh, pray for me. They're trying to give me work. They're trying to give me a caseload. I don't know if I can handle this. And that child was filling out prayer requests every single, those of you who count the offering, you know, there she is. Pray that the Lord would get me a job that fits my degree and fits my, and here it is. Lord, it's bigger than me. Y'all pray for me. So we loved her up and prayed her up and cared for her. And she wrote up. She sent us a Marco Polo the next day saying, you're absolutely right. God put me here. God made me adequate for this. And so I'm ready for it. I know I'm going to make some mistakes, but that's okay. He's big enough to handle that. She was in a different spot. We said, amen. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than whatever it is that's facing you. The Lord is bigger than our greatest thoughts about him. Whatever you think you know about him, he's bigger than that. I don't care how many words you've used. I don't care how flowery or eloquent they are. I don't care what you've read anywhere. The most magnificent descriptions that we have heard of our Lord and Savior, of our great God. He's bigger than that. In fact, the scripture tells us he's so much bigger, he's beyond our ability to even be able to imagine how much bigger he is. We can't even imagine how much bigger he is, let alone imagine all that he is. Thank you, Lord. He's bigger than that. Whatever you have experienced of him. We were talking about that in Sunday school, our experience of the Lord through the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives and how he works. Whatever you've experienced, he's bigger than that. You have not maxed out. You have not hit the wall. You have not come to you've not drank all that there is in that cup. Because he keeps on filling it and refilling it. And then he gives you a bigger one and a bigger one and a bigger one until it's the ocean and you realize, wait a minute, this is bigger than me. Lord, you're bigger than me. And he's better. He's also better. This past week, I celebrated 40 years of faith. And I mean, 40 years of faith in the Lord, 40 years since I've come to know the Lord. I've been looking forward to that day, the 27th of September, all year long. I was counting it down and it finally came. 40 years. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. You have held my attention for 40 years. Amazing. That's a miracle in and of itself. Yes. 40 years, and 40 years of full-time faith. I mean, from the beginning of my journey with Christ, my life was consumed with following him. From the beginning. Now, I didn't do that. Grace, James. Amen. I didn't do that. That's no credit to me. I'm not giving myself a merit badge for that. That's just how it was. From the beginning, he was all-consuming. And I was full-time, even working a full-time job, I was full-time Jesus. He dominated my life. Not by dominance, but by magnificence. I mean, overtook me. And I asked myself this past week, so what do I have to show for it? 40 years of full-time faith. What do I have to show for it? I don't have wealth. I don't have fame. Everybody doesn't know my name. Haven't written any bestsellers. Nobody's calling me up for the national conference tour, speakers tour. Don't have a mega congregation. I don't have a perfect family. What do I have to show for 40 years of full-time faith? And you know what? It didn't take me long to think. It didn't take me long. I didn't perplex over this. I wrote very little about it because the answer came immediately. And the answer has nothing to do with fame. The answer has nothing to do with wealth. The answer has nothing to do with the size of my congregation. The answer has nothing to do with a perfect family. The answer has nothing to do with any of that. And yet, it has everything to do with that. And this is why, because the absence of all of that, or having had it and lost it, has given me what is most precious in those 40 years of full-time faith. And you know what it is? It's who the Lord has become to me. That's it. Who Jesus Christ has become to me as a result of those 40 years of faith, of up and down, in and out, black and white, all stumbling and bumbling, receiving the joy, enduring the sorrow, 40 years of full-time faith. And what do I have to show for it? Who Jesus Christ is to me today. And everything else, I'm telling you, God is my witness as I stand here on this platform, going off into the weeds like I said I wasn't. God is my witness. Everything else is rubbish in comparison. Everything else that I love is rubbish in comparison. He can do that. And he has done that. And he is worthy of my praise. He is the living God. And he's better than life itself. He is better than life itself. And he can make that known to each one of us. I am nothing special. It's who he is. I like a lot of things. I was teaching my grandson how to play ping pong yesterday. His eyes are about like this to the table. So he holds the paddle like this. But I was teaching him. He came over to my side of the table and said, "Pop, Pop, you teach me." So I held his little hand, showed him how to hold the ball, and knocked it across the table once. I was pretty good at ping pong at one time in my life. I know I sound like an old person saying back in the day, but back in the day, I was pretty good at ping pong. I really was. In fact, I'm still pretty good. I could probably beat most of y'all in here. Just come on over to my house if you don't believe it. Come on, I'm waiting for you. My wife likes ping pong too. She loves it. Her eyes get big and we're down there and she's hitting the ball. I like this. This thing's addicting, she said, you know, hitting this little ball. I like a lot of things. I like music. I like traveling. I like eating. I like people. I like asking all kinds of wild questions. I like lots of things. I like the Twilight Zone. I like chicken. I like banana pudding. I like photography. I'm fascinated with history. I'm a big fan of presidential history. Love it. Love it. I'm not an expert. I'm a fan. So let's get that straight. So don't come up asking me no complicated questions. I'm a fan of presidential history. I like a lot of things. You know, my wife calls me her Renaissance man. But you know what? At base, beneath it all, beneath all the things I love, and beneath all the roles that I play, roles as a father, roles as a husband, roles as a friend, even roles as a pastor. Beneath that, I'm a man of God. Take everything else away, I'm a man of God. And I'm not a man of God, meaning that I'm this godly paragon. I'm a man that God has touched. A man that God has called, a man that God is transforming, a man that God has made himself a consuming desire for. That is who I am, and I'm not ashamed to say it. And I'm not ashamed if that's all that I am. If that's all that I am, it's enough. It's not a burden, because he is a delight. He is a delight, not a chore, not a responsibility, not a duty, not a religious ritual, not a ceremony, not an altar. He's bigger than all of that, and he's better than all of that. He is a delight. When I posted on Facebook a picture of me way back in the day and was thanking the Lord for 40 years of faith, one of the sisters that was with me in that church that I was a part of when I first became a believer, she wrote this note. She said, "Back then, we loved the scripture that told us, let no one look down on your youthfulness. Let no one look down on your youthfulness by being an example of faith." And she said, "Now we've grown into, I've been young and now I am old." The truth follows us wherever we go in life. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Praise God, she said, for 4 decades of knowing and reflecting his faithfulness and his steadfast love. You couldn't find better words, because that's what this is. Whatever I am a reflection of his faithfulness and his steadfast love. I'm not a reflection of my discipline. I'm not a reflection of my spirituality. I am a reflection of, what did you say, James? Grace. 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 Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, wrote David. You're better, Lord. You're better than all of that. You know, there are joys in life, but you are my exceeding joy. There are things that I love in life, God, but you are my exceeding joy. Psalm 63:5, he says, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And in Psalm 81, the Lord says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. So as an expression of praise, and so we don't forget like the Israelites, we can always say, Lord, you are better than this. In those moments when life is good, you don't have any trouble in your life right now. Right now you're sort of cruising. Right now you're on a nice stretch of road. You don't have any bumps, don't have nothing really scaring you, nothing jumping out of the weeds. Life is good and you're cruising with the top down. Sun is on your shoulder and life is good. And the Lord gives us moments like that. He gives us days. He gives us stretches of road like that. It's not the whole journey, but he gives us stretches of road like that, doesn't he? When you're on that stretch of the road, say, Lord, you're better than this. You're better than this. And you know what? That doesn't diminish the blessing. When I'm having a great time with my wife and we think, oh, life is just wonderful. We want to kick off our shoes and just stick our feet up on the chair and sit back. Who has it better than us in that moment? Lord, this is a great moment. I got a great wife. But you're better than this. I got a great church family. Lord, I came over here. I told Gary at Bible study on Thursday, when I'm here praying, I'm not praying with grief or sadness or frustration or anxiety. I am praying with joy. My heart is welling up with joy because of the names on here, Marty and Joselle. I look at these names and joy fills my heart because of what God is doing in each one of you. And the miracles I see of how he continues to unfold and reveal himself to you. My heart is filled with joy. Got a great church family, but I say to the Lord, Lord, you're better than them. You're better than them. You are better than everything. And you know what it does? It makes my heart swell with praise to the one who made all that other stuff possible. And you know what happens then? That stuff gets even better. It feels even better to be sitting at a football game when we realize where it came from. And when we're realizing that the source of all joy, the source of joy, the source of pleasure is not in the thing. The source of the pleasure is the one who provided it. So if I'm rejoicing over this thing, I need to recognize, Lord, you're bigger than that. You're better than that. Because it came from you. All the little technological gadgets that we've come up with and that I love gadgets. Love them. Want to make them work. Want to make them do everything they can do. I love gadgets. But Lord, as amazing as this is, as amazing as the mind of those who created this, who invented this, They created it, or they invented it out of your stuff. There's nothing on this earth that didn't come from the Lord's stuff. You know, we see them walking around in Bible clothes and stuff like that, but everything that's here today was here then. We just hadn't figured it out. God knew it was there. He put it there. The stuff that we use to make this high-tech stuff, it was there in Bible days and before. Because God created it. He's the source of that kind of fascination. So when I'm sitting down with my gadget and I'm fascinated with it, I can say, Lord, you're more fascinating than this. And it makes the blessing of whatever it is that I have even richer. And I am going to now yield the balance of my time.